beginning one is actually somewhat difficult. But it's based on, once you get the premise down pat, I think it's relatively easy. The premise is, I looked it up, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to plant, in order to be chayav klaim, you have to plant together three seeds. Chita and chita, and then sora, or chita sora, and kosemes, any three seeds, but it must be three. So the premise of Rabbi Yehuda is that
two can be the same,
one different. Premise of Yehuda is that you, when it says lo tizra karmacha lo tizra sarcha kilayim, sarcha lo tizra kilayim, it means it has to be a sadeh, which is planted kilayim. What constitutes a sadeh? At least two things growing. What makes it kilayim? The third thing tacked on. Do you see that, Svara? In other words, the two are the base, and then the additional one is the kilayim which enters into the base sawdust. Yeah, that's what we just saw. Doesn't matter, because then the dough, those constitute the sawdust, and then the third one is the kilayim which intrudes.
So two's coming.
Right.
I would have thought that sawdust is not a shear in the zrayim, but a shear in the karka.
That's what you would have thought. Now, that's, you're not incorrect. The Gemara is going to assume that there is a continuum between the two. And that's the basis of the first Gemara this evening. You're not, I'm saying, there is a logic to what you're saying. The other basic assumption, Rabbi Yehuda's has similar places, Yotta brings down. Later on the Mesech, he's going to say, in order to be Chayim Akili Begadi, most Tanoim hold, if you weave two threads together, one of linen and one of wool. But now that you know Rabbi Yehuda Shita, you know that what does Rabbi Yehuda require? Three threads. Okay, that's going to be later on the Mesech. Okay? Now, that premise accepted, that promise, we have that down pat, we can do today's Gemara. Let's start from Avarabi Bar Kartinga. Actually, not from there. Let's go a little bit beyond that and start. Because Mastisa Pliga Rabbi Yechnon. Do you see what it says, Mastisa Pliga Rabbi Yechnon? What?
No.
It might even be still on Amid Aleph. On Amid Aleph towards the bottom. Is it there? Right after that. Right after Amar Bar Kartinga.
That's right after the, yeah.
Well, how many lines at the bottom?
It's 3, 6, 8 lines from the top.
Yeah. 8 lines from the top on Hayomid Alf, right? Okay. So, Masisa Pliga Rabbi Yochanan. Do you see it, Mrs. Zuger?
Yeah.
Masisa Pliga Rabbi Yochanan. Mishnah argues that Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said that when you plant chita and sora, so it has to actually go into the ground before you're chayav. Rish Loge said once you scatter chita and sora together, makes you chayav. Rish Loge said Rabbi Yochanan said it actually has to be enter the ground in order to be chayav. So it says more Masisa pli Rabbi Yochanan. These are Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan goes. Our Mishnah says Hazrei chita sora kaachas harei is a kilayim. If you plant chita and sora at once, it's kilayim. Now, that seems that even if it doesn't penetrate the ground, even if you just cast it down, then of itself is mechayiv, which sounds like Rish Lakish, right? Says the Gemara, no. Pasalar, Rabbi Yochanan will explain our Mishnah, v'nesuni b'soch shisha al shisha, where they're placed in a constricted area, which is 6 by 6 tvachim. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, eino chayiv at shisha shisha al shisha, mukrochim b'toch sodet tvua mukafim gader. You're only chayiv in the casting the seed on the ground when you cast them into a confined area of either an open spot of 6 by 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim in a field, or in a place where they're constricted because there's a fence around them. Okay?
So that's the only time there's a chiyuv klaim according to Yochanan.
Well, if they later grow together, they'll also be klaim. But you're either chayiv when you throw them into a constricted area or when they subsequently grow together. But you can't be chayiv just by throwing them down at random in an open field. Why? Because then, of course, the wind can carry them away and scatter them.
But Yochanan doesn't need the shear of 3 tefachim from the ground.
Which year of 3 tefachim?
Yes, sir, we have one.
3 tefachim in the ground for roots.
Right, below the ground level.
No, of course not. Nobody does. But that's what we say. Either, according to Rabbi Yochanan, either have to place them in a hole in the ground, not 3 tefachim down. Any hole in the ground will make you chayav kilayim. But when the roots mingle under 3 tefachim, that we said is mutter. But that to be chayv kilayim, if you plant them just beneath the surface, that already makes you chayv kilayim.
That's only when they're spread apart. The shear of three tefachim is only when they're apart, or?
Well, three tefachim only applies pertains to roots.
It's only roots.
Roots beneath, which are more than three tefachim beneath the ground, can mesh. That's all that Allah has stated, no more, no less. Okay, now the thing is like this. Again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we are chayev when you skip, when you plant. If you dig a hole in the ground, you place seeds in it, that's for sure. But even if you just scatter them on the ground, you're not chayev, because then the wind can, you know, come and scatter them away. However, you make a constricted area, right, of 6x6 tefachim, or you make an area which is surrounded by wall, and you put the seeds down there, then even according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to be chayev. Now, says Gemara, Bada, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eini Kilayim. Says Gemara, wait a minute. In this case, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it should be Behador, not Kehador. In this case, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's not Kilayim. Now, here, the Gemara is taking into account your Svara and asking a question, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, we said, as far as that it has to be three for three in order to create a base of two, which is your field, and then you are a third one, which comes in and intrudes on that. So says the Gemara, just like, this is a Lomdashir comparison, just like two seeds create a field, so to a confined area of 6x6 tefachim should create a field as well. And therefore, in that case, you shouldn't require three seeds. No, Rabbi Yehuda is asking, where should I require three seeds? Where it's not a constricted area, right? So then what makes it a field? The two first seeds. What makes it kilayim? The third seed. But where it's a constricted area, in other words, it's already a field because it's a defined area in and out there, a plot, let's call it. So in that case, I should only need two seeds. I shouldn't need a base. The base is the actual plot. What do I just need in order to create kilayim? Just two seeds of two different types. You see the Gemara's conscience? It's very interesting conscience the Gemara's asking here. One is a conceptual, right.
The other is conceptual.
That's right. One is a conceptual boundary and one is a physical boundary. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara's kasha is, again, on Rabbi Yochanan. If this is the case we're talking about, in our Mishnah, where there is a physically defined plot, why would Rabbi Yehuda say it's only kilayim if you have three seeds? Omer Zira Abzira said Rabbi Yehuda Kedaite. Rabbi Yehuda's like follows his line of reason, which is known from us to other places. The Rabbi Yehuda Amar Besad Yerak Tefach. Rabbi Yehuda says the shear of Harchoka in a shear of this distance in a vegetable patch is a tefach. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not kilayim because he holds that what's the shear of a plot? Only a tefach, not six tefachim, right? So that's why Rabbi Yehuda argues. Says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda said, Mandaboy mak shaya al adod Rabbi Zira. If you want to ask a question, the answer Rabbi Zira just gave, I'll give you a very easy way to ask a question if you Rabbi Zira's answer. Yolif hadod Rabbi Yehuda, extrapolate that which Rabbi Yehuda holds means the Rabbanin, but that which Rabbanin hold. Kemat Rabbanin hold, just like Rabbanin hold, Be'iser, mi de Rabbanon, base rova lilkos. Be'iser, base rova. Mi de Rabbanon, the prohibition is even in a distance of 10 amos. Lilkos, the Torah prohibition to flog you, is shishal shisha, 6x6 tefachim. Kain Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so Rabbi Yehuda concedes that Be'iser, the Iser de Rabbanon is by shishal shisha. Only Lilkos, in order to give Malkus, does he say that the shear of distance is only a tefach. So now we have again a kash Rabbi Yehuda Mishnah. Vatani Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Whatever Tanakam answered, which we're assuming now is 6x6, because that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yehuda didn't just say it's only us, it's potter mi daraisa. He says it's mutter. But that doesn't make any sense. How can Rabbi Yehuda say it's mutter? At the very least, he should hold this to the Rabbanan, if not, this to the Raisa. So Rabbi Zira's answer is no good. Rabbi Zira said that the shear of distance, be the Raisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is one tefach. That may be true, but still, be the Rabbanan, it's also planned within six tefachim. And here we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're talking about a defined area of six tefachim. So if that's the case, how can it say Rabbi Yehuda Matir? At the very least, it should ban it, midrabanan.
But all this is applying the logic and the
whole sort of this set of logic Rabbanan uses. We don't know where Yehuda uses it at all.
That's true, but we haven't defined an independent. We have not yet defined an independent set of logical principles for Rabbi Yehuda. We might, but we haven't yet. Okay? Says Mara Vatninon. All right, skip. So, the Kasha. Now we're going to ask another Kasha. My time is Reish Lakish. So until now we're asking on Rabbi Yehuda according to Reish Lakish, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now let's see, even according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda is difficult. Because Reish Lakish, if you recall, says that the moment you scatter seeds from your hand, you're Kekhaev on Kilayim. So, Kasha, my time is Lakish. What's larger than Reish Lakish? Mikavon Chahotzi Mitoch Yodo Lezera Chayev. Once you scatter from your hand in order to plant your chayiv. Vatzaninon. Well, wait a minute. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Kilayim. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not Kilayim. Now, this is a very difficult question. What exactly the Gemara is asking here? What I think the Gemara is asking is that, well, let's see. According to Reish Lakish, the moment you scatter something from your hand, it's considered as if it's planted. So therefore, according to Reish Lakish, it should follow in Rabbi Yehuda that even two seeds should be aser. Because what's Rabbi Yehuda's svara? Rabbi Yehuda's svara is you need two seeds to form the base sodeh, and then you need another seed to come into it. Yes, but according to Reish Lakish, the sodeh is formed in the air. So therefore, these two seeds together, as they're falling, should constitute a sodeh. You shouldn't need to have two seeds and then another one fall on top of them. When do you need that? If you say a sodeh is defined on the ground. So then I say, first I have to create a sodeh. How do I create the sodeh? By having two seeds. Then I create kilayim by having another few seed fall on top of them. But according to Reish Lakish, who holds that seed, that fields are created in midair, and that's why it holds that the moment it leaves your hand, it's already a sodeh. So in essence, according to Reish Lakish, we should say that already in midair, these two seeds together became a sodeh of kilayim.
How do we learn that the seed, that he feels that the sodeh is created in midair?
We don't. We just know he said that. He said it. He said it. He stated that as a fact.
No, when it hits the ground.
No.
It creates a sodeh. When it leaves his hand?
When he leaves his hand, yes. That was Reish Lakish's sheet that was stated that way. It's not. It's he took his axiomatic. I can make the kash a bit better because I see the type of son said something before. He says that Reish Lakish is also talking about where your intent was. They should fall within six tefachim. Okay, now it's better, Kasha. Now I can make the Kasha much better. Because he had said before, what's the machlokas of Shlokish Rabbi Yochanan? Reish Lakish holds the moment it leaves your hand, you're chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan holds only when it falls to the ground, you're chayiv. But even Reish Lakish holds, why is it chayiv when it leaves your hand? Because your intent is it for it to fall within six tefachim of each other. Rabbi Yochanan holds that's not sufficient. You have to have a defined space of six tefachim within your field, right? Or in a constricted area of six tefachim. But Rabbi Reish Lakish holds your intent to cast the seeds within a six tefach area, that's enough to be mechayev you. Oh, if that's the case, so now it's taka, very good kasha, for how does Reish Lakish learn Rabbi Yehuda? Because what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? That in order to create a field, need to have three seeds, two for the field and one for kilayim. It's not true. We should. What his intent was to scatter the seeds within an area of six tefachim. So his intent to create a six tefach space should be in and of itself enough to constitute a sodeh. Again, taking the time, the physical conceptual framework. There should be two ways to create a sodeh. What's one way to create a sodeh? Scatter two seeds, and then another seed on top of them. But what should be another way to create a sodeh? To have the intent that these two seeds should fall within a six tefach area. So that should be enough to be mechayiv according to Reish Lakish. The moment it leaves your hands, your intent to create a sixth tefach area in which these two seeds should fall should be considered to be creating a sada in which the kivas kilayim is going to take place, and that should be the history according to Rabbi Yehuda.
I guess I just don't understand about Mar's kasha, because why are we so worried about Reish Lakish fitting in with Rabbi Yehuda if his wife fits in with Rabbanan?
I'm not sure if that's really the well, let me read a couple of more lines. All right, well, it'll become evident. So says Mar, but again, v'kasha my time the rishim lakish and Rabbi Yehuda. L'chor it sits there. Rishim lakish holds me came a chotzi b'toch yada lezera chayev. Assuming you intended for it to fall into a 6x6 space. How does that jibe? The Rabbi said it's not climb until you scatter three seeds. So, according to Reish Lakish, you know, you're right. My sheet will not jibe with Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? You only chayv on kilayim when it rests. That's so he concedes. So that, basically, the Gemara is answering what you said. In other words, Reish Lakish cannot be consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Reish Lakish, the moment you scatter two seeds with the intent that they fall within a six tefach area, that should not in itself be mechayiv you. Says Reish Lakish, it's clear. Rabbi Yehuda only is mechayiv you when it comes to a rest. When it comes to rest, so we asked the Rabbi Yochanan, we haven't answered this kash yet. We asked the Rabbi Yochanan, either according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's going to fall in a constricted area, then two seeds should be enough. Could be that that's a viable question. We haven't yet answered that question. But this we know, that Reish Lakish concedes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not a constricted area, which if I just scatter them loose in an area where the wind can scatter them, then even though my intent was that they should fall in 6 tefach by 6 tefach area, that's not mechayiv me, because it's only mechayiv me when they're nach. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda requires specifically three seeds, that two seeds should fall in the third seed on top of them. Okay? Says the Gemara, Vatani Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Wait a minute.
One second. Just to say, if Reish Lakish is learning in Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Shoshet Tanuah, doesn't that mean that you have to have that the two seeds that land on each other be of the different kinds?
We'll see. Just we're going to develop that thought. Vatani, didn't we learn Rabbi Yehuda Matir? We're not finished bugging Reish Lakish yet. Vatani Rabbi Yehuda Matir, it says Rabbi Yehuda Matir lo afilu nachal Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Does that mean even if they come to rest Rabbi Yehuda Matir? Now, this is according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a kasha, because Rabbi Yochanan will hold that, yeah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe until it comes to even if it comes to rest, it's not a sada until they take root, or until the three seeds are scattered into a constricted area. But according to Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish just implied that the moment they come to a rest, you're chayiv. Doesn't say that in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah says that. I'm sorry. Wait, I'm not sure.
Okay. The father brings it right, it happened before, that it happened after.
You know, let me change my interpretation of the Gemara. V'atani Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Didn't we learn Rabbi Yehuda's Matir in our Mishnah? In other words, as long as there aren't three seeds, Rabbi Yehuda's Matir. Rabbi Yehuda's Matir, the throw, the casting of kilayim, and even if it comes to rest on the ground until you have three seeds. That's a difficult on Reish Lakish, because according to Reish Lakish, at the least when they fall to the ground together, they should be considered to be falling into a field. In other words, to require three steps, according to three seeds, according to Reish Lakish, it seems to be too severe a requirement for a chiyuv. Let's see how many steps that takes Reish Lakish away from Mishita of Rabbanan. In Rabbanan, Reish Lakish, he holds the minute two seeds leave your hand, you're chayiv. In Rabbi Yehuda, it's saying that when two seeds leave your hand, are you exempt? But even if two seeds rest, you're exempt, because that's Lach Rabbi the Matir, and you only chayiv when three seeds are on the ground together. Come on. According to Reish Lakish, at the very least, when two seeds land together, surely Rabbi Yehuda should concede at that point. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan holds according to Rabbanan, when the two seeds are in the air, you're chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda can argue with that. That we understand. And you should say that you require more in order to be mechayiv. But that you have to have three seeds resting on the ground in order to be chayiv, when you have two seeds resting in the ground within six tefachim of each other, and that was your original intent, that should be sufficient to be mechayiv you. Why require three seeds on the ground? According to Reish Lakish, we should say, who holds that, according to Rabbanan, you could define a field in your mind and say, when you scatter it, if it falls within six tefachim of each other, that's already mechayiv you. So it's truly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when they fall on the ground in six tefachim of each other, that should be at the most, the maximum requirement. Why does the additional require three seeds? That's what's difficult here. Says so, I'm going to tell you why. Reish Lakish kedaite. Reish Lakish follows his line of reasoning. Dam Reish Lakish b'shem Chizkia Rosh Tor Michurba. Now here Churba means a place which is desolate, not a ruin, but a place which is desolate. Mutter. This is if you have a Rosh Tor Michurba, it's permissible. This is a fascinating concept. I have a picture here. You plan like this. This is Chita. And this is Sora. That's Mutter Midoraisa. Rabbi say the Chita and Sora are touching each other. But one is a wedge and one is a bar. And they're perpendicular to each other. The patterns set them off. The distinct patterns set them off. If there are two bars next to each other, that would be awesome. Because then they're running in tandem. But if there's a bar next to a wedge, so then it's Mutter Midoraisa. So says Reish Lakish, if you have two seeds which fall next to each other, we look at one of them as if it's the outer boundary of a bar, and the other one as if it's the outer boundary of a wedge. And therefore you can't be chayav on two seeds, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's a brilliant answer. He says they're within six tefachim of each other. They're on the ground next to each other. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is we look at them as if they are a rosh tor, as if they're a bar in the wedge, as if they're in the formation where even when seeds are right next to each other, they don't make a line. So that's why I need three seeds together. So now ask the obvious kasha. What's the obvious kasha? The one's about to ask. When three seeds fall next to each other, you can also make them an imaginary bar and wedge formation, right? No. That sounds like what it's going to answer. Even if you have two wheat seeds and a barley seed, maybe you'll say that takits mutter, but if you have two wheat seeds and a barley seed, or two barley seeds and a wheat seed, or wheat barley and spelt, so in that case you're talking chayev. Why? Says for a potar lay. So Reish Lakish will answer to you about a chita mikan, the chita mikan, a wheat on one side, a wheat on the other side, the gutter mikan and a fence on the other side, on each side, gutter mikan, usora chavusha b'emtza, and the barley's in the middle. Here's the picture. This is the only case in which Reish Lakish says, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're chayev. Chita, sora, chita, and a fence on each side.
A fence surrounding them,
so there's no way of creating a rosh tor. You see that? There's no way of describing a hypothetical Rosh Torah in that case. So that's the only case, according to Reish Lakish, in which Rabbi Yehuda would say a chayef. Why? Because otherwise I could look at it as hypothetical Rosh Torahs. Now Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to go that far. Rabbi Yochanan can say as long as it's in a confined area of any sort, because I get Rabbi Yochanan didn't say this business of looking at his hypothetical Rosh Torahs. But Siv Reish Lakish has been backed into a corner to try to explain how Rabbi Yehuda is going to, why Rabbi Yehuda requires three seeds in order to be chayev. According to Reish Lakish, two seeds should be sufficient once it hits the ground in proximity. So Reish Lakish said it's because Rabbi Yehuda looks at it as a hypothetical Rosh Torah, a wedge bar situation. Therefore, the only way you're going to be chayev is if you can preclude the wedge bar situation by having two barriers. And a chita zara chita in the middle.
According to Reish Lakish and Yehuda, this is the only situation where your chayim klaim proceeds that has nothing to do with any other halacha. Klaim with respect
right.
to roots and things.
Unless you put them in, unless you plant them together, unless you actually made a hole in the ground and put them into the hole. But it's scattering seed on the ground. This is the only way you're going to be chayim. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amrei Masio. Rav Masio said. That's only if there's no open space at all. But it is some open space, so that theoretically, even the barley in the middle could be made into a Rosh Torah, then it would be mutter. In other words, in this case, let's say you had a chita over here. Same case. Chita, saora, chita. And then you had a wall on this side, but if there's no wall on this side, so theoretically you can make this somehow the end of a Rosh Torah, and then this somehow, you know, the end of a bar. So in that case, it would be mutter me the right coin Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, there's no wall over that. No wall on this side, only on this side. Okay, so that's the end of that sugya. That's a pretty tough sugya. The Ritba says, being in the Sugya Zu Chamura B'Yoyser. Yes.
Let's say he scattered
it and he intended to break though within 612, and the wind blew it in the last minute, and it was more than 612. According to Reish Lakish, it seems like it doesn't matter. Lotizra means, according to him, scattering. Scattering seed. We're going to flog him anyway. That's right. Because you are Zoreach, you line.
So it's different than...
It's not like Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rabbi Yoch, even Reish Lakish, we said, conceived by Shabbos. It's where they got planted in the ground. Right.
And the opposite case, let's say he scattered it, he did not have an intention for default within 612, and it did.
Then he's exempt. Right. Because he has to have that intent. Has to be that when you left your hand, that was your intent. Okay, how can anything be harder than that? Let's go on to the second parent. Kosei Sheish Barova. Any measure of a saw which has a quarter measure of zera min acher, of seed from another type, you have to diminish it. Now, that's a ratio of 1/24. A saw has 6 kab, and each kab has 4 rovas. A rova is a quarter, right? So therefore, this is a ratio of 1/24. Okay? If you have 1/24 of... you have... What you have in your house is seed. And seed, of course, is usually not 100% pure. In some wheat seed, there'll be barley seed mixed in, and vice versa. So what's the maximum permissible ratio? 1/24. Okay? Now, there's a Shiloh. Happens to be that this Shiloh is disgusting. There's a Shiloh Rishonim. And this Shiloh is disgusting in the Big Deshation Boba Basra. If this is a Shia Deraisa Derabbana. Most Rishonim hold this is a Derabbana. That it's a issue Marisayim. And the Deraisa really, I guess, Rove. As long as it would be Rove 1. And me at the other would be okay. However, the Rambam and others hold it's no raisa. This could create a unit of chashivas which is not bottom either raisa, and you transgress kulayim be the raisa. If you have ratio of 24 to 1 or smaller of one grain to another grain. Is that clear? That's the question. Arbitrary. Well, that would lead one to assume it's the raisa, because if it's the rabbana, it should be shishi. But it's 24, it seems like here they found a different measure. Right. No, it'd be the raisa. As a regular the rabbana, it should be shishim. Okay? In any event, Rabbi Yossi, so you know, so you have to diminish. Once you have a 1/24th of barley, you have to take out the barley from the wheat. Rabbi Yossi Mer Yivor Bein Miminache Echor Bein Mishne Minim. What if of that 1/24th, half of the 24th was barley and half of it was spelt? So Rabbi Yossi has, you have to diminish it regardless. Rabbi Shimon Lomer Elo Miminache. Shimon says, well, if it's from the same one min, so if you have 1/24th made up half of barley and half of spelt in a wheat batch, so in essence, you have 1/24th of any single type of commodity, right? It's 1/48th of each. So Rabbi Shimon holds that's okay. Has to be 1/24th of a single other commodity within the primary commodity. Is that clear? That's a, yeah. No. No. Because they're all considered to be insignificant. Both considered insignificant. They pale in significance vis-a-vis the wheat. Okay? The Chachor Mir Koshu Kilayim Besaw Mitztarif Lurova. Anything which is a kilayim in a saw is mitzdarif to make a rova. In other words, any time it's going to be a kilayim situation in this saw, we're going to discuss what that means in a minute, it joins up. So therefore, if the 24th is made up of several different types of meaning, it's still considered to be the 24th, and you have to diminish it. They are like Rebbe Shimon. When is this true? When does the shear apply? Well, betfua, grain and grain. Kidneys for kidneys, legumes and legumes, tefillah for kidneys, grain and legumes, kidneys for tefillah, legumes and grain. However, be'emes amru, in truth they said, zirone gino she'em ne'acholim. If you have garden seeds from, you know, gino are decorative flowers, they're not edible flowers. It seems that you plant a lot less seeds of those in planting a base saw. It's Chazal knew to plant the base saw of grain, of legumes, so there's a more or less standard measure. Give or take a little bit, which tomorrow we'll discuss, but it's more or less standard. However, if you talk about planting a similar area with you know ornamental flowers, then the shear of seed is a lot smaller. Use much less seed for ornamental flowers in the area than for the same area in where when you would plant that area with a crop. Am I making sense? Is that clear? Yeah. So therefore, what's the shear there? Because if you use the 1/24th gauge, then really, it's hypothetically possible that you could have a saw's worth ornamentals in the 24th of the base saw of grain, right? So let's take numbers just at random. Let's say normally it takes 5 pounds of seed to plant the base saw of 6 pounds of seed. Let's take a 6 pound of seed to plant the base saw of crop, legumes or wheat or whatever, and it takes in the same area 1/4 pound of seed if you're going to plant roses. Okay, so if you use the shear of 1/24th, so you're going to allow 1/4 pound of rose seed in within the six pounds of wheat seed. That sounds okay, right? But it shouldn't be okay, because rose seeds of 1/4 pound cover the same area the 6 pounds of crop seed cover. So something's wrong here. Chazal recognized that. Chazal said in that case, all you get is a 24th of a quarter pound. You get a little packet of roses, not more than that. Okay, because otherwise it comes out preposterous. We can't allow that. Okay? Amr Abi Shimon, Shimon said, G'shem Shom Malach, Mejuzah said to me, Machmir, Aflokim. Hapishtam b'tfuah. If you have flax mixed in with grain, mitzareves echom esim v'arav menoifel lebeisar, you also use the shemesh of 1/24th of the flax. Meaning, flax, without you take 6 pounds of crop, 6 pounds of wheat seed to plant, if you want to plant the same area with flax, you need to have 24 pounds of flax seed. So there it's a kula. You're going to allow more flax seed to make than the 24th, okay? Says Gemara, Anantzninon Chiyesh Bar. One gear in our Mishnah is a measure of wheat seed which has within it other seed. Istani Tane, however, there's another brisa, which another version which says, Shenofel Esoch, that it fell into it. Not that it was there, but that it fell into it. What's the difference? He who says that it's within holds the ratios Echem Yisrim V'Arba 1/24. Ma'adavar Shenofel Esoicha means you have the 24 already. And a measure fell into it. So what's the proportion according to him? 1/25. Echem Yisrim V'Chamisho, right? 1/25. It depends if it was there to begin with, which means it's really 23-1. Or if it fell in, some total 24. Or it fell in afterwards, which means it's 24-1, some total 25. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Boon, bang, nah, bang, come on, the Marshiyeshba, where the version of Shiyeshba can bang, come on, the Marshiyeshba, so with the version of Asocha, Echem Yassim, Rabbi, the Shir is 1/24. In other words, 1/23. My Kedom. Now, says the Gemara, what's the difference if that's the case between Yeshba and Nafalba? My, what's the difference? Ma'adamar she Yeshba, he who says she Yeshba, it means betolush. Now we're looking at when it's in tonnage, in pounds of seed. In other words, in 6 pounds of seed, you can have of wheat, you can have a quarter of a pound of barley. Madam Ashava Soha looks like b'mechubar, how it will grow. In other words, not in the seed going in, but in the crop coming out. That the 24th is in the crop coming out. Manukai, now that's more. Manukai, what are we talking about? This is the big discussion about Basra on this, because this is parallel to talking about Basra. And you'll see why now. Manukai, what are we talking about? If the guy intends to plant this 6 pounds of wheat, so I feel chitachas osur, he's not allowed to even put in a single wheat seed. Intentionally allowed to put a single wheat seed, assuming it's barley. Intentionally allowed to put a single wheat seed into a barley mixture. Chatchila, if you're going to go and plant it, of course not. Right? To go. That's like being mevatel l'sul chatchila, which we'll bring up later on. If your intent is to plant this mixture, you're not even allowed to mix in a single wheat seed into a measure of barley seeds. Furthermore, im la'arev koshu, it's also asur la'arev. If you're mixing them because you want to sell in the marketplace, it's also asur. Because what's that asur? If you're selling this in the market. Worse. Theft. Oh no, he brings down here. Because he thinks he's getting what? Barley, pure seed. What are you selling him? Mixture of seed, right? You're right. It's perhaps it's even naive too, but the primary answer is theft. You're stealing from him. That's if it happened that way, but not the mix in. That's what we're about to talk about. Okay? Rabbi Yaakov Baracha Abarchiyah Shem Rav. They both said name of Rav. Habodar Tzoros Mito Keren Shochaveru. Now, this is a fascinating thing. I'm going into your... I come to your store. and I see, or actually your silo would be a better example. I come to your silo and I see, oh, Yanko, you got pebbles in your wheat. Be a good guy, I'm going to take the pebbles out of your wheat. Says the Gemara, Chayev la'amilo chitim yavos tachtein. I got to give you pure wheat in lieu of the pebbles. Why? Because when Yankel sold the wheat, he could have sold the wheat with a certain, there's a certain allowable measure of pebbles in the wheat. And he would have had more volume had the pebbles been there. Now, he's like that guy cut into his profit margin by taking the pebbles out of his wheat. Now, the obvious question is, so why can't I give him pebbles? In other words, I have to pay him the cost of his pebbles in wheat. Let me just pay him pebbles, right? Is that a clear question? Just pay him pebbles, don't pay him the wheat. So says Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yisrael, it says, those mesh was the law iron. Teaches, I'm not allowed to mix the pebbles back in. In other words, I don't have to take pebbles out. I can sell with a certain amount, you know, just like, you know, the FDA allows a certain amount of insect parts in cereal and grains and stuff like this. So I can sell them the grain with a certain amount of pebbles per pound. But once the pebbles are out, I'm not allowed to put them back in. I can't introduce pebbles into the mixture. That's why the guy who took the pebbles out of Yanko's feed, out of Yanko's grain, has got to pay him pure grain. Says the Gemara, Im Omar, I'm Rabbi Yisrael, Mr. Osularim, Im Omar at Shemuta Lare, because if you say that's Mutter to mix, normally Chitim Yavas Tachte, why is it pay him wheat, let him pay him pebbles? Now, Machal Chitim Yavas, let's say I sell you Chitim, which I say are a good one, grade A. But I say, you know, they're pebbles. Turns out that this grain was not only yafos, it was bruros, meaning what was not there, no pebbles at all. Maushi and Nakalo, for some reason the Rashula takes out the next word. Maushi Nakalo Osarova. I'm allowed to have up to a quarter of a pound of pebbles. It's like the quarter of a pound of barley, you know, the ratio of 1:24. So now that you turns out you got no pebbles, can I jack up the price by 1:24? So like a mekach toast, and I can jack up the price on you. Is that clear? Question clear? Milan the rabbi, I mean, eno menake also rova. Well, that's the question. That's the question. Is it an allowance? This is a mekach u'memkar question. This is a really bona fide. That's right. So it's well asked. This is a bona fide mekach u'memkar question. Is it an allowance, or is it an assumption? In other words, that underlies every transaction in grain. So it says the Gemara. Milan the rabbi, in the words of the following rabbis, Armin will teach us, oso arova. Again, he takes out the words of me. I don't take off the press for the lack of pebbles. But don't jack up the price for the lack of pebbles. Don't rabbi Agobarachon Abrachiasim Shem Rav Haborer Tsroros Mitoch Shchit and Shochaveiro. If I remove the pebbles from your grain, as you said before, I have to pay you. I have to pay you for the grain, which are for as if I remove grain. Now, what's the riot from there? Because if I was allowed to jack up the price for chitim bruros over chitim yofos, I didn't suffer a loss. I could just say to the buyer, This is not chitim yafos. This is chitim buros. I get a little higher price for this. Since I have to pay Yankel for having taken out the pebbles from his grain, I see that he's not allowed to jack up the price for buros or yafos. And as you said, it's just an allowance, not an underlying assumption of all trade. Okay? Says the Gemara, Bire Rova Echoru Mechza. What happens if I if the guy, this grain, had more than the allowance. Instead of having just a rove of pebbles, meaning a 24th of pebbles, it had a 24th and a half. What's that? An 18th, right? So it's that, one and a half revoim of pebbles. Too much. So what's the law in that case? Beer again, beer rove chamechta maushi nakel hodmei also, and here it's supposed to say, according to the Rashi and the Gro, chati rova, which at least for that I have to pay Yankel for having taken away the rova, right? Because he could have sold it. That's part and parcel. But what about the extra half a rova? Do I have to pay him for that? In other words, that he wouldn't be allowed to sell anyway, right? So do I have to pay him for that? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi. This is a very interesting word about the sea. Rabbi Chanin of Rabbi Mona. It's Machlokas Rabbi Chin and Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Chin and Amar Menakel, of course. I say to you, Yankel, your grain had too many pebbles. It's true. It was a rove on a quarter half, and I should have just taken off the half a rove on, and not the whole rove on a half. But and therefore I have to pay you for the rova which I took off. But for the extra half rova, you wouldn't be allowed to sell that anyway. So therefore I shouldn't have to pay you for that. That's Rabbi Chanina's for. Rabbi Mona Mar Eino Menakelo. Rabbi Mona said no. He's got to pay him for the whole rova and a half. Hi! It was above the allowance, above the quota of permissible pebbles. Says Lord Duamar Le. It's amazing. Yankel says to me, he says, Ilu Yahavtin Li, were you give it to me, in other words, would you leave the pebbles there, have a tsriyana tsara lo besirke, I would have left them there together, I would have, and put them out in a sack, madava zvuna chame, and a buyer would have seen them, have a zub would have bought them anyway. Now let me.
That's what I didn't understand the first logic. Now, not every buyer is so mocked. They would buy more. Not everybody says.
I find that shocking that he was taken as a double portion.
I didn't understand the first one.
It's not that the Rabbanan forbid. It's that there's a certain allowance which makes it not back up to total.
Yes.
But it's up to each individual buyer to decide what to do.
Well, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. You're right.
That's right.
No, so but basically what Yankel Tynes to me and says, no, it's true that the allowance, like I'm just repeating what you said, it's true that the allowance is only a rova, but I could always find a buyer, it wouldn't be Machmir, it would take a rova and a half. And that buyer, so not that I would cheat that buyer, it's not cheating, I would have told him. And he said, okay, I don't care. So therefore you really caused me the loss of the full rova and a half. You didn't cause me, whatever you took out was a loss. Because even though it was over the allowance, I would have told people, and people would have bought it anyway, and could have made the same money. That's why you have to pay me for the full Roman app, which you took off. Okay? Which is what you said. The seller would be honest enough. That's right. Assuming that. So you can tie to that. He'd say, I'd be honest, and I'd still get my price. So therefore you have to pay me for it. Very good. That's what it says. Okay. Now, getting back to the original question. So how did we get the mixture to begin with? How did the mixture happen? You're not allowed to mix together. So we know pebbles can occur naturally. Pebbles happen in wheat. Right, during the harvest. But how did the barley get in the wheat? You're not allowed to introduce them. Neither in your day nor in Chesh and Mishpat. So how did the barley get in the wheat? Pebbles, I understand, but how did barley get there? That's the original kasha we're asking. So it says, Mo'ela b'she'ela b'shenisarvu derech machnas. When you're gathering your crop in from the field. So you grow in one part of your field barley, another part wheat. They're not antiseptic, right? There's no barrier between hard and fast barrier. So sometimes some mixtures occur. That's what occurred here. Some mixing occurred. So, okay. Vatninan. Now, going to the next part of the Mishnah, we said, Be'emes Amru, getting back to our... getting back to what it said in our Mishnah, it said that Be'emes Amru, Zironi Gina Shein Echol, and we said the rose seeds in the wheat, Mitzarim Echol Be'asim Ba'arba B'Noif L'Be'isah. So they are go by 1/24 of whatever used to plant rose seeds in the garden, not by 1/24 of the wheat or the barley. The Tani alone, we learn concerning this. Kigon Kav V'Chati Kav. Now here it starts getting a little bit into arithmetic. It's a little bit tricky. Kav v'chatzi kav. We're going to learn later that the measures of what is within reason, and which we go by the standard 1/24. Is anything where it takes between 3 kav and 9 kav to plant the saw. Okay? Between 3 kav and 9 kav to plant the saw. He said the general standard measure is 6 kav will plant the saw. 6 kav is a saw. So 6 kav will plant the saw. 6 kav of seeds will plant the saw. 6 kav of seeds will plant the saw. Right. So general measures between 3 and 9. If I recall correctly, I could be mistaken. But 3 kav of seeds will plant an area where 3 kav of it. Where even as few as 3 kav seeds will plant an area of a saw, or as much as 9 kav seeds will plant an area of a saw, so then the proportion is 1/24 of the total amount of seeds present. What's considered to be too far off the standard deviation when it's under 3 or above 9? In that case, the 1/24 goes not by the total of the seeds that try and tend to plant, but rather 1/24 of either the rose seeds, which only require one or two kav per besa, or the total measure of the flax seeds, which require 10 or 11 per besa. So it's 1/24 of those commodities, not the whatever I'm going out to plant. So says more, wait a minute. 1/24 of a kav. Assuming it takes a kav of rose seeds to plant the garden. 1/24 of a kav is infinitesimally small. Right? It's an extremely small measure of rose seeds. You're going to ask her that small amount of rose seeds and such a large amount of wheat seeds? Well, I'm talking about a little packet you buy in the store of rose seeds. That little amount of rose seeds is going to ask her the whole 6 pounds of wheat seeds? Be reasonable. So somewhere, yes. Yeah. So question Marisayin. Now, this sounds like it's the Rabbanan, right? Because we always say Marisayin is Rabbanan. But there's another pshat in Marisayin here, that it's the Raisa. What would be the Marisayin, the Raisa? People can discern that there are things growing here which shouldn't be growing together. Okay? So Marisayin here could mean the Rabbanan, which most Rishonim say. Some Rishonim say the Marisayin is what defines Kilayim. Kilayim is a relative thing. Defined, and when people perceive that they're mixed, on people's perception, that mixed breeds are growing here together. So that's why Marisayin can be a Svar D'Oraisa here. Okay? The Rosh Torah. This is a Rai, the Marisayin is D'Oraisa. Yeah. But this is a Rai, the Marisayin is the Raisa. Because the way it looks, regardless, the same two seeds, depending on the configuration, whether they're wedge and bar or bar and bar, can mean in one case kilayim, one case not kilayim. If this is a botanical objective standard, then it should make no difference if it's wedge and bar or bar and bar side by side. This clearly indicates that Marisayin defines this as the Raisa here. The same thing really is what we learned last night. If the roots mesh, under three talking beneath the ground, it's okay. Botanically, what difference does it make if the roots of the three talking from the ground or are the three talking from the ground? It's all subjective, not objective. That's what it boils down to. And that's a Maris sign here. It could be a derisive as far as. Yes, we're only going to the Rambam. But in general, in Kilayim, it's not a botanical standard. That's what I'm proving from the Rosh Torah case. Okay, this might be only the Rabbanon. But there's still the other cases which have nothing to do with botany and everything to do with perception. Okay? Says Gemara, you might buy. Have we done two blot yet? Not even close. One blah. Oh, three. Okay. You might. Yeah. Basic sadum we might. How do you do mute? The two ways to do it. Oh, poches minarova. You can either diminish the 24th, right? Take away from the quarter pound of barley, which is in the wheat, or mostly follows up. Or you can add on to the 6 pounds of wheat, right? How do you do it? You take away from the osur substance or add to the mutter substance. The two ways of doing it, very simple, right? More mutter. Well, it's also more diluted by definition. Yeah. So says Mo, there is a difference. Says Gemara, you're not thinking. Locate Amar, it should be Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Yochanan is erased by the Rash. Locate Amar, Rabbi Avo, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yisrim, Shariba Lim, Shogig, Mutter, Mezid, Osir. What principle is that? Ein Mevatli, Mitzvah, L'chatchila. So you're not allowed to add on Mutter, Heter. That's your day. Now, never allowed to add on hetu to an osur mixture. It's osur to do that. Drabara. But you're not aim of atli, it's a lechatchila. You can't add on hetu in order to be mavato. So lichoro here, what's the only option you can do? Just take away the osur substance. Which, by the way, is also mutter in your day. It's just that generally you can't do that. You know, in your day, if your milk falls into your meat pot, hypothetically, if you could get it out, you could keep, you would be allowed to do that. It's a prayer that's a shah of Esher L'Sokhto Osir, Esher L'Sokhto Mutzer, but you usually can't do that. But hypothetically, if you could, then you could decrease the Isra that way. What you're now allowed to do is increase the Heter in order to be Mavato Isra. So Sesmar is no comparison. Tamar Marba Levato Isra Torah. There you're being Marba in order to be Mavato Isra Torah. That's awesome. Baram Hocha, but here, at Marbe Levato, we've named Marisayan. We are being Marbe Levato in Isser Drabotan of Marisayan.
Language is so much against the
Raya. Yeah, but what can I do? Yeah, still, some people say he brings it down here. That Kilayim is, Isser is a perceivable Tarobes, and here, where you're being Marbe to be Mavato an object, the way they tie it up is, we're being Marbe in order to be Mavato an objective, it's a deraisa, then it's also being Mavato an Isra. But we're being Marbe in order to be Mavato a relative perception, there it's not also the Chatchila. That's how they tie it up this way. Okay? Rabbi Yossi and Mary Yover. Rabbi Yossi said, going back to our Mishnah, once he make you diminish, you have to diminish even if it's two different types. Okay? In other words, if the 6 pounds is of wheat, and within that you have a quarter pound, half of which is made up of barley and half of it of rye, you have to be memayed in that case. Okay? My time at the Rabbi Yossi. No, I don't think that's what's going on. Just a minute. No, Rabbi Yossi made an additional point besides that point. Rabbi Yossi's other point was that once you start diminishing, you have to diminish the. I didn't point this out in the Mishnah. I skipped over it by accident, by mistake. Once you Rabbi Yossi holds, it's not just enough to diminish the quarter. But Rabbanan holds, the minute you diminish the quarter, say now it's only, instead of a quarter, it's chveis, 1/8. Right? Or even a little bit less than a quarter. What's a little bit less than a quarter? 3/32. 3/16, yeah. 5/32. 5/32, even just 5/32, it's enough, it's already mutter, right? Not Rabbi Yossi, he says, once we made you be mevarer it, you have to go all the way. You have to remove every single last stitch of barley there. Once you start, you can't stop. We only make you start if there's a quarter. Once you start, you can't stop in the middle. You have to do all of it. Okay, so that's the question. My time, Rabbi Yossi, became Shishcha Barova. Once you started diminishing it, Tzarech Lashlim Kol Rova. You have to diminish the entire Rova. However, in Boy, the Rabbi Yossi, of course, goes to that saying. Rabbi Yossi says, Shema Yashom Pachos Mi Rova Mishor Mishorna. If to begin with, there's only 5/32, Eino Zalkuk Lo, you don't have to start. Just once you start, you can't stop. Okay? Hei Chavido. What about the following case? What are you doing in the following case? Hayashram rova echad mishnei minim. You had a rova echad made of two minim, which again is the case I said before. There's 6 pounds of wheat, and of that there's a quarter pound of foreign substance, half of which is barley and half of which is spelt. So what do you have to do there, according to Rabbi Yossi? Do you have to move all the barley and the spelt? Or just all the barley and leave the spelt, because then it rates less than 1/24. Of course, that's the type of question which the Yerushalmi never bothers answering, right? Do you just take out one that's vision? Do you have to take out all of it? And of course, the Gemara doesn't answer. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shimon says, if half of that quarter was barley and half was spelt, you don't have to take out at all. Ad heichon says the Gemara. Wait a minute. Corner of Shimon comes an amazing thing. Corner of Shimon. Let's say you have 6 pounds of wheat, and then you have 5/32 of a pound of barley, 5/32 of a pound of spelt, 5/32 of a pound of rice, 5/32 of a pound of, you name it, millet. So it's okay. You according to Rabbi Shimon, what do you have to have? You have to have a rova of one mean in order to make it awesome. As long as you have a rova of one mean, it's mutter. So it's more at kama. So up to what shear? That's what it says. Says more. And heruba shosa. As long as the majority of what's there is of one mean, so no matter how many 5/32 increments of other stuff we have, it's okay. Chazer vosif. If you added on more wheat, then the whole thing is mutter again. In other words, as long as the majority is wheat, it's okay. However, there's a chumran Rabbi Shimon. It's a flip side of Rabbi Shimon. Just like Rabbi Shimon said that too many are not mitzarif l'iser, so to kenome elcha ain't shnei minim mitzarifin l'heter. So he says too many are not mitzarif to make a heter either. Hey Chavi, the one case to talk about. If they're 22 and a quarter, 22 and a half, it means. 22 revoim umechza, 22 and a half of chitim. The chati rova sorim, and a half of sorim, which makes 23 altogether. And now there's less of than a quarter of lentils which falls in. So according to Rabbi Yossi, that would be good. Because the two minim are mitzdari for kula. Let's just start with Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, this is bad. Because here the two minim are not mitzdari and it makes a chumrah. Because here I have less than a quarter of adoshim. A little bit less than a quarter of lentils. Now that's not bought on the 22 and a half of wheat by itself. But if you add on to the 22 and a half of wheat, the half of barley, those two are too many more tariff, then it should be mevato the lentils. Because I have less than a rova of the lentils vis-a-vis the two other minim together. But here Rabbi Shimon comes out of Chumrah, because here he says the two minim are not mitzdarif even to be mekel, to be mevatel the lentils. Okay? Is that clear? Says the Gemara, if you can, they mean it's starving later. Here too, nonetheless, the two minim are not mitzvah flatter in this case. Okay?
Do we do two blood yet, or are we still on our base?
I can go to the, I did prepare to the Mishnah, but I want to let you guys go. When is this true? Now, we said this in the Mishnah again. This is the case where we precluded the rose seeds, right? The rose seeds, we said, so that you have to deal with the different ratio there. The Tani law, we learned. Kigon shloshes kabin, varbas kabin. If we said that what's considered to be within the range, within a standard deviation, so to speak, if it's 3 kav or 4 kav. In other words, usually it takes 6 kav to plant the soil. If it's down to 3 or 4 kav, so I still use the measure of 1/24 of the primary substance, right? I don't look at it as 1/24 of the foreign substance. Hakabayim echol mesim ar, but if it's already a substance only takes 2 kav to plant the whole beit sah, then I have to measure with 1/24 of that substance itself, independently. In other words, 1/24 of its 2 kav, not 1/24 of the 6 kav. In other words, not 1/24 of the 6 pounds of wheat which I want to plant, but 1/24 of the 2 kav of rose seeds or whatever else it is. Okay. I'm Rabbi Lezer. Lezer said, "Kol makom shishonu beemes halacha lemoishim Sinai." Every time it says beemes, it's halacha lemoishim Sinai. Now this sounds like it's a daraisa, right? Because it's saying that this shear is halacha lemoishim Sinai. So we're getting conflicting vibes here, right? It does, but I don't think it makes that deal. We have beemes somru in the Bavli. But I don't think the Bavli ever said, what do I recollect? What? Emes halacha lemoishim Sinai. What do you mean it's not logical? It makes sense. You might not like it. It makes sense. Oh, come on. Emes! Moshe Emes is also Emes! That's what we're saying.
Emes has the first and the last letter of the
Mem. The Mem is for Misinai. Misinai. The Mem is for Misinai. I just made that up. All right. Anyway.
What's the makom referring to?
Here in the Mishnah said Bamis. In the Mishnah said Bamis Amru. And that principle that we take a different ratio, it said Bamis in the Mishnah. Okay? So it says Gemara further. Vitani law, kigon kav chati kav. Now it's a little bit of contradiction here, because we said previously that the shear is one kav, 1.5 kav. A kabayim, which sounds like kabayim berova. By kabayim, you go by a quarter of the standard measure, a quarter of the 6 pounds. Kabayim berova. So here you're saying kabayim berova, meaning that kabayim is a quarter. Is a rova, meaning the standard measure. In the other place you say kabayim requires 1/24 of its own measure. So which one is it? So Rabbi Zira, and now we're going to approach the issue from the other side. Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Avuna, we're leaving this question aside for the moment. We're leaving it on the table. Let's go to the other side. Now let's talk about the flax issue, where it requires much more than the standard measure to plant. Rabbi Zir, Rabbi Avunim Shem Ravuna, Chadam Aratisha Kabin. What's considered to be so much, so great a deviation, that already you measure 1/24 of its own, as opposed to 1/24 of the 6 pounds, 9 kav, where it requires 9 kav per saw. The Chadam Aratishmon, one of the Tzmachlokas, one says 9, one says 8. Tisha Vasara Maushi Starfu. Okay, it says we're supposed to take it to a different astral plane. Supposed to talk about two substances, one of which is 9. Which requires 9 saw to plant in the base, 9 kav in order to plant a base saw, and the other which takes 10 kav to plant a base saw. So what about when those two get mixed together?
Well, this probably, the answer should be like the one that gave the Baba Basra about Shovech or something.
You want to kick Rav Yirmiyahu out of the base medrash? You want to kick this guy out of the base medrash? Okay.
So they are Isachamei. Let's draw parallels. Tisha v'shlosha mitzdarfin. The lower limit of the standard deviation is 3. The upper limit of the standard deviation is 9. Anything in the middle is mitzdarif. That's a span of 6, right? It's a wingspan of 6. So surely 9 and 10 are mitzdarif, could go together, right? If you can use the standard measures anywhere down to 3 and anywhere up to 9, so of course 9 and 10 should be mitzdarif. That's a much smaller gap. Says where you should know. The Gemara doesn't repudiate that, but the Gemara says, point of information. Rabbi Am, Rabbi Chanina, Tavayin, and Omi, they both said, Seo cholekes beineo. The Seo is the dividing point. In other words, it's only 3, you only get a standard deviation of 3. You can go from 3 to 6, those are one type, and from 6 to 9 is another type. But you can't be mitzvah if those things which take 9 with those things which take 3. That's too big a gap. We can't allow this. Yes, not that far a deviation. That's 200% deviation. 3 to 9 is once to 6 and another time to 9. I don't know, it sounds to me like it's 100% on either side. Or whatever, it's math, I don't want to know about it. Says the Gemara, again, Seoch Lech is my name. Verova saw also Bishloshes Kabin. Now, here, from here to the Mishnah, I lied a little bit. From here to the Mishnah, I'm a little bit spotty. Verova saw also Bishloshes Kabin, a type which requires a Sa'ah. Oh no, this is just repetition. Okay, fine. It's just repeat a little bit funny. Since based on that Seah Posekas is Seah Cholekas Beineo, we say Rova saw Asa B'Shloshes Kabin. Rova saw is the measure of Issa with something which takes only 3 Kabin per saw. The Rova Shloshes Kabin Asa B'Saw. And that Rova of that substance which takes 3 Kabin per plant is then the shear still in a saw. In other words, we take 1/24th of the one standard 1/24th of the saw measure, even when it goes down to 3. And also on the other side, Rova saw Serbatisha Kabin, Rova Tisha's Kabin Osir Misaw. In other words, in a convoluted way, we're saying the same thing we just said in a concise manner. We said it's 1/3 to 6, and then from 6 to 9, and we're saying that again. In a more convoluted manner, that which takes 3 is a mitzvah, and that which is 6, and that which takes 9 is time. That which takes 6 as well. Now, shloshes revoyim shall pishton osrim b'saw. If you have 3 measures of pishton, that asrus in the saw. No, it's 3 times the standard measure. Flax, normally the shear is again 1/24th of 6 pounds, which is a quarter of a pound, right? By flax, it's 3/4 of a pound, 3 times the standard measure. 3/4 of a pound of flax seed asers in 6 pounds of wheat seed, right? Hey, Chavita, why is that? Asar de Zora Rova de Chitin, the area which takes 1/4 pound of wheat to plant, Zora Tlosa Ruvin de Chitin, takes 3/4 pound of flax seed to plant, and therefore, again, since it's so far removed, so therefore we go by its own ratio, and its own ratio is 3/4 pound of flax plants the same area which 1/4 pound of wheat plants.